Rowe. I'm joined with host Jonathan Jay.
Hello, 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 world from the center of the watery side, the Pico, the hub of the Pacific Ocean. Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. It's really awesome and great that you're here. Really appreciate that.
And Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with underwriters like these.
Allahale Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 332-5580 or online at kalahaochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
The 7th Annual Red Clay Jazz Festival 2014 is June 25th through the 28th. Friday the 27th features Hawaii legends Jimmy Borges and Betty Lou Taylor, plus Slack Key Masters Ken Emerson and Will Bernard at the Kauai Beach Resort, starting at 7 p.m. Saturday the 28th features 7-time Grammy winner Diane Schur, the Chicago Blues Band, Mississippi Heat, and Swing Shift, plus food booths at the Kauai Lagoons, starting at 4 p.m. On Wednesday and Thursday the 25th and 26th, there will be live performances around the island, plus educational workshops by the musicians. More information at 822-3148 or online at redclayjazz.org.
Kauai Museum proudly presents the Portuguese Festival 2014, Saturday, July 12th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Museum Courtyard in downtown Lihue. There will be a Portuguese bread oven cooking demonstration and exhibit. Fresh foods will include malasadas, sweet bread, and spicy bean soup. Also live music, dancing, arts, and crafts. Learn about Portuguese history and culture on Kauai. Enter a drawing to win a quarter hind of a cow. Information and tickets are available by calling 245-6931, online at kauaimuseum.org, or at the museum office.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right. Hey, I want to win that quarter hind quarter of a cow.
Portuguese.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, welcome to the show, everyone. We are back here. We don't have a lot of guests or anything planned for the show today. So
au contraire.
We're hoping to get a lot of calls from the audience, from the listeners today.
You, the listener, are the special guest today, and we want to have we want to see how many different people we can get onto the air today, especially if you've never called into the show before. I know there's a lot of people out there who listen, and God bless you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. But this show wouldn't be the show that it is without you. And we're always wanting to change and grow and try new things. So today, if you've never called into the show before, please call in and share your perspective, your mana'o, your understanding of the world. And we want to try and let as many people call in as possible. So we're going to try and keep the calls quicker than we have in the past. So, yeah. And then, the flip side being that if you call in all the time, hey, congratulations, you can take a day off today. So, yeah, I just wanted to lay that out for folks because it's so exciting to do radio and want to just share it with as many people as possible.
Right, and the phone lines will be open throughout the show at 826-7771.
Yeah, and we'll say that again several times because maybe you don't call in because you don't know the number.
Hey, let's go to the phones. We got a caller.
Hey, how about that?
Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
The magic of radio.
Well, I'm your first caller, and this is the first time I've ever called your show.
Is that true, caller?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I'm holding my hand on a Bible right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, caller, what's on your heart?
It's a Masoner's Bible.
I was going to say, what kind of Bible?
Yeah, right. I wrote it myself. But, you know, one thing that just appalls me is animal abuse. The way people, you know, keep their dogs chained up all day long, day in and day out. They don't take good care of their animals. You know, you wonder, why do people have pets if they don't have the responsibility or the love to nurture and take care of their animals? I mean, you know, I mean, and this isn't just in Hawaii. It's all around the world.
Yeah, well, I think it's on every planet, I guess, where they have animals.
It's so sad because when you hear about, you know, well, people are suffering and this and that and la-di-da, you know, there is so much animal neglect, you know, and here on Kauai, and so many animals suffer in little cages. I mean, just in the little tiny neighborhood where I live, there's just probably dozens and dozens of poor animals that have spent their entire life in the little tiny cages, and it just blows my mind. And I just want to remind people that, you know, have a heart. You know, I mean, we're human animals.
Exactly. I was waiting for you to pause because I was going to make that point.
Well, we seem so entitled. You know, the thing that blows my mind is when people use the term, we're the stewards of the earth. And you go, good grief, you know, the earth could do much better off without us.
Actually,
you know?
And it seemed like it did for about 4.5 billion years.
Exactly, you know, I mean, but if you value your karma, I mean, if you even believe in that, you know, I mean, be kind to animals as best you can, you know, because the bad karma that you get, either in this life or the next, whatever you want to believe, you know, some people don't believe in karma, you know, but let me tell you, you know, someday, you know, we'll all be accountable for everything we do.
Well, there are many philosophies in the world that share that perspective, and I want to thank you, caller, especially because you're a first-time caller into the show. I want to thank you for calling in.
Something very good, and I want to mention one last thing, and
okay.
I'll let you go.
All
right?
Sure.
And if I call again, it will be another first time call. Right? You know what I mean?
Because, well, no, but
know,
seriously,
I live in the moment. I live in the moment. Right?
Right. You've never been the you before that you are right now.
Yeah. The time is now. Right. And so, at any rate, you know, one thing that struck me in the news is all these little kids, down to 5 years old, 50,000 of them have made this 1,000-mile trek from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala to try to find their parents and try to find a better life in the United States of America. And so they got all these kids, 50,000 of them, that made this horrendous, dangerous trek because of the violence and the intimidation by gangs and criminal types in their home countries, right? And now the U.S. immigration and our foreign policy is so shabby, it's created this abject poverty in these Central America countries. And because of the drug trade, you know, in our supposedly war on drugs and everything.
Okay,
like
that. Caller, we're cutting people off at 3 minutes today, but thank you very much for bringing it up.
We're posturing to send these poor little waifs back home.
Okay, that's a big question. So, okay, thank you very much for calling him.
Okay.
Yeah, it's caller raises an interesting point, and I'm struck as I'm listening to that. It reminds me a lot of the children's crusades back in like the 11 or 1200s. And at one point, there was like a large religious fervor was sort of sweeping over the European little kingdoms, the neo-medieval kingdoms. And I think 30 or 40 or 50,000 kids got it into their head that they also wanted to go to the promised land, you know, Israel or Palestine. And so I think there was a charismatic youth who was sort of maybe a couple of years older than the rest of the kids, and he was maybe like the Pied Piper, and all these children kind of gathered and took off walking. And I think they were all sold into slavery.
Is that right?
Yeah, they never made it to where they wanted to go. It was kind of a sad story.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen again. That was 1,000 years ago or so, is that what you're saying?
Actually, the caller is saying that's happening right now.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting point then, what's going on at the border here now. Definitely a difficult situation, but, you know, if we should work to make it better on the other side of the border so that they wouldn't be inclined to move here. I mean, if it was beautiful and a wonderful life where they live, they wouldn't have to leave.
Right.
You know?
Well, so. I think, you know, this might be one of those perspectives that's a little bit out of the box or counterintuitive to some people. But the easiest way to make it nice on the other side of the border is to get rid of the border.
Get rid of the border.
Get rid of the border.
Well, that's an interesting point there. How would you manage, the population? What if everybody came to the border, to this side of the border?
Yeah, what if there were no borders?
Then there'd be no immigration problem because, you know, there's no immigration because you're not crossing any borders.
What? Exactly. And you never, all the illegal aliens, that would be gone. And what if people were allowed to move around the world with the same ease as money? Like, because money can certainly travel around the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no, but I mean, like, it's welcome. Like, other people's money is welcome to come here.
Right.
Please send your money here. And if you're a person who has money, come on over. But, you know, should money have more travel rights than people?
Don't know. Phone lines are open, 826-7771, if you have an opinion about getting rid of the border. Okay, well, in the meantime, we got a couple of news items here. This is from the Garden Island, I believe, last week. A Kauai lawmaker says his investigation of the county's agricultural dedication law resulted in discovering numerous serious violations of county law by island landowners and agrochemical companies. In a letter to Kauai Mayor Bernard Carvalho Jr., Councilman Tim Bynum outlined the alleged violations, which include landowners and their lessees failing to properly adjust real property taxes and obtain conservation plans for new operations. If a thorough examination of these apparent abuses truly paints the picture as it seems, the implications are staggering. There may be millions in unpaid tax liabilities. So what Mr. Bynum did, he looked at several properties and found that many of them, even urban zone lands, were reclassified as agricultural dedication without any evidence that the required dedication petitions were received and processed by the county. In one parcel alone, the loss of county tax revenue from 2010 is over $250,000 per year, or over $1 million to the present on one property alone.
So, back up and say what you just said again, but like break it down so that even I can understand it.
Well, apparently, and these lands were owned in large part by grove farms, but they're being leased to agricultural chemical operations.
Like GMO companies? Or?
GMO companies.
Okay.
But they don't pay the taxes based on the use that they have of the properties.
Well, what use base do they pay it on?
Well, whatever it's zoned. It may be ag zone or urban zoned land, but then they use it for a different purpose. And they don't petition to the county to change the dedication on it, to review the conservation plans, and, you know, to allow the county to adjust the taxes for their particular use.
So
there, you know, quite a bit of difference between its current use and its, its dedication, the way it's zoned. So the taxes should be paid at the higher rate.
So
they're paying at the lower rate.
Huh. So the land is designated, it's taxed at one rate based on the alleged use.
Right.
But then they're using it for something else.
And it's not being taxed at that rate.
It should be a higher tax.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so they're doing something other than what they say they're doing, and they're not paying a lot of tax.
Right, and then the county is not checking on them.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they say there are 1,700 agricultural dedications on Kauai, and one staff person is responsible for the enforcement of it.
Well, that doesn't sound right.
Out of multi-millions of dollars of lost tax revenues that they perhaps could afford
to hire a couple more people. Yeah.
And get those extra tax revenues.
Right. And then the other thing that occurs to me is if you have large companies like the GMO companies or whoever, if they're not paying a lot of their taxes, then that means all of the rest of us, it means two things. It means all of the rest of us have to pay more. And it also means that they're creating the budget shortfalls that we have, and they are reducing the amount of services that the county can provide.
That's right.
So that seems like it's one of those lose-lose-win scenarios where we all lose.
And they win.
And they win. That doesn't really sit well with me.
No. We have a caller now.
Let's see what this caller has to say. Aloha, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Aloha, gentlemen. Again, I'm a first-time caller, and I have my hand on the same Bible as the previous caller.
All right.
Well, that's remarkable.
The succinct points I would like to raise are three or four.
You've got 3 whole minutes to do it.
Money traveling across borders, people crossing borders, etc. Well, I've been on the island for 30 years, and unfortunately, Pauaniki, each year, I think the island has gotten worse and worse.
In terms of what?
In terms of, number one, we have all these rich Haoles who have come here, and when I was born in California in 46, there were 3 million people. Now there's about 40 million. And the sad thing is the politicos, the politicians, basically sell out the indigenous populations by changing and not regulating the zoning. So they rezone the land like Chinatown, you know, basically. And so all these people move here. All the rich people move here. The local people get priced out of their own homes.
Not the local rich people.
No, not the local rich people. They will always be with us, okay? Wherever, whatever country, you know? But the sad thing is, I feel sorry for the people who've been here for several generations. And number two, you know, used to be able to ride my mountain bike, you know, on these cane roads. Now, Palo Cane going down, you can't even do that. And the real drag about living in old Hawaii is that there's so little public land that the public can use. There's all this land, federal, state, private.
Crown.
But we're
crown.
All washed.
Don't forget the crown lands, bro.
Yes, and we're all, God bless our Hawaiian friends. May they get justice one of these days. Don't hold your breath. But the whole thing is, so we're all squashed together in this tiny little ghetto around the periphery of the island, and I think it's really, really sad. I don't want to ride my mountain bike and suck up someone's exhaust. So the whole thing is, you know, the corporations, you know, it's like if you are a rich person and you are living retired in Hawaii, first of all, your property taxes are minuscule compared to the property taxes on the mainland. And number two, it's like, just let me thinking about the GMOs. These people should be taken out and you know what. I mean,
Like hugged? They should be hugged?
Exactly.
Yeah.
An extremely forceful hug, like in the upper extremities.
Well, you know, I'm kind of a loving kind of person.
So am I, and yeah. I especially like would gravitate towards the upper region of the body for the love I would like to give these people. So anyway,
that makes a strange picture in my mind.
Like the neck, perhaps?
I think we might maybe don't want to know too many details.
Yeah, I'm just feeling very...
TMI, yeah?
I'm just feeling, a great deal of love for the local politician. That's a big knot. But anyway, considering that money can move anywhere, which it does, of course. So, I mean, you know, how do we feel if, like, plane loads of, you know, boatloads of people started to arrive... You know, some nut like said, well, let all the people come to Kauai. So what if, like, you know, 100,000 people started to arrive every year on good old Kauai? I think a lot of people's attitudes of aloha would change, and I think that would, like, But anyway, these are some of my mana'o.
All right.
And,
well, thank you very much for calling.
Yes, and I hope our good friends, the Sunni and the Shia, really, really will love each other so that we get even more of these lovely people.
Right.
Well, hopefully, we can get into discussions like that as well, because it's an open forum, open topics, and the phone lines are open at 826-7771. So if you've never called into the show before, just like these two gentlemen who have called in, please, you are invited to join us this afternoon, out of the box. We'll be talking about all kinds of stuff, especially if you lead that conversation.
Okay, we hope to get into a little bit of what's happening in the Middle East, the
Levant.
The Levant, yeah.
Yeah, the Levant.
We'll be talking about the Levant here. So look it up if you wonder what it is. Hey, I've got another article here that while there's a break in the calls.
826-7771.
Right, yeah. This is about pesticide use on Kauai.
Again?
Now, I didn't pick this because I want to pick on the GMO companies, but I think this is an important one. This was in an Oregon newspaper recently, the Oregonian.
Oh, yeah, I remember that newspaper.
Right, yeah. And it's called What's Blowing in the Wind Across Kauai. They did an analysis of the reported pesticides that are, you know, the good neighbor policy where they report what kind of pesticides they use.
Hey, neighbor, like I'm spraying the bejesus out of everything today. Just want to let you know.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I know, but it doesn't help me
now
out in the long
run.
Now
you know.
So anyway, some of the pesticides used on the test fields around Waimea are toxic enough to pose a serious health threat to its population.
Where?
Even when used according to directions. Waimea.
Waimea. Okay.
Okay. These are restricted use pesticides. They are more tightly regulated by the EPA than general use pesticides and include some of the following: alichlor, atrazine, chlorpyrifos, methamyl, metalachlor, paraquat, and permethrin.
You're really
some wonderful names there. Huh?
You're really good at saying those chemical names.
That's right. I'm a chemist anyway.
Wow, that's cool.
Okay.
Paraquat.
Yeah.
Paraquat.
They use that now.
I thought that wasn't allowed to be used in the United States of America.
It's banned in many other countries, but not in the U.S.
Huh. I remember back in the 70s.
Back in the 70s, they were spraying marijuana crops down
in
Colombia
or Mexico, somewhere. Yeah,
yeah,
with paraquat.
Paraquat, so that they would quickly harvest them and ship them back to the U.S. before they died so that they can, you know, get the money from them.
Right, but the problem
then
is
the people that are smoking it are getting sick.
They were having their mellow extremely harshed by that paraquat.
So anyway, they found that the annualized pounds per acre usage of the seven highly toxic pesticides on Kauai was greater on average than in all but four states: Florida, Louisiana, North Carolina, and Indiana.
So we're number five?
We're number five.
We can do better.
Let's see. But they showed that the per acre use of permethrin and chlorpyrifos on Kauai were 10 times the national average.
Is that good?
We're number one.
We're number one. Okay, good. Gold medal.
We're
gold medal.
Both of these.
Chlorofloss?
Chlorpyrifos.
Chlorpyrifos. And what's the other one?
Permethrin.
Permethrin.
Yeah. So they're in both of these.
Gold medals.
Per acre, we have more use on Kauai than anywhere else in the country and 10 times the national average.
Take that, you 49 states.
So overall, pounds per acre pesticide usage on the Kauai is among the highest in the nation.
We're leaders here, Dave.
Six of the seven restricted use pesticides used most heavily on Kauai are suspected of being endocrine disruptors, which can cause sexual development problems in humans and animals.
That sounds bad.
Call them gender bending effects.
Huh.
Atrazine is another one.
I suppose if you're doing that on purpose, it could be okay, but it seems like if you're chemically being dosed into some different gender, that kind of gets creepy.
Yeah. And as if that wasn't bad enough, there's a reason to believe that the agri giants might be violating federal rules about the application of the restricted use pesticides that ensure that they're done safely.
Is that a new word?
What's that?
Agri-Giants?
Agri-Giants. Yeah, they probably coined it there.
I like that.
For example, Dow's Lors ban, which consists of 45% chlorpyrifos. Lors ban is a restricted-use pesticide that is most heavily sprayed on Kauai test fields and cannot be sprayed when the wind is greater than 10 miles an hour. The average wind in Waimea is 8 to 9, so on most days they shouldn't be able to spray it. And also the label says you shall not spray, allow the spray to drift and contact people, structures, or structures that people occupy at any time, and the associated property, parks, and recreation areas. So avoiding spray drift is the responsibility of the applicator. So in Waimea's windy climate, it's a rare day when Lors ban can be used, but it is.
Now, Dave, we had a caller there.
Yeah.
We had a caller there. You should have taken a breath.
I wanted to finish that sentence there, but I was going to go right to the call. So please call back.
826-7771.
That was an article in the Oregonian, very interesting article.
Well, that's kind of creeping me out, all those big chemical words and the fact that, unfortunately, it seems like in a negative category, we're leading here.
Right, yeah. Well, it illustrates that it's not a benign issue, and that the fact that people are complaining is not that just they don't like it, they don't like the sound of it, but there's a serious health concern associated with that. So the phone lines are open, 826-7771. If you want to join this conversation or talk about something else for that matter.
I did a little research here online and just checking on the Children's Crusade. Evidently, there were several of them, and the first one was in 1212. These were crusades by early Christians trying to get to the Holy Land. French and German children didn't work out well.
No, I wouldn't imagine so.
No. Says they never arrived at their intended location, their destination. Wandering poor children. Didn't that sound terrible?
What did they expect to do when they got there?
I think they were filled with some kind of religious fervor, and they thought somehow it would just magically work out for them. I don't know the details. Yeah. I think they didn't know the details either.
Were they armed and ready to fight, or were they...
Oh, no. Like, no, this is the Children's Peaceful Crusade.
Oh, a peaceful crusade.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I have a special announcement here to make. Check this out.
RIMPEC War Games going on in our beautiful Hawaiian waters. During the month of July, 25,000 soldiers from 23 nations will be dropping bombs, launching missiles, shooting torpedoes, exploding underwater mines in our beautiful Hawaiian waters. RIMPEC War Games also include 43 ships, 6 submarines, and over 200 aircraft. The Navy has permits to kill and harm 27 marine mammal species. Please do what you can to protect our beautiful watery world. Anyone sighting dead or hurt sea animals, oil and sewage slicks, or military debris, call the Surfrider Foundation at 337-9977 or email us at surfriderkauai@gmail.com. Peace and love for our ocean from the Surfrider Foundation and the Oceans for Peace Coalition.
Peace and love.
Well, they do call it the Pacific Ocean, and that means
right.
Peaceful, right?
Peaceful.
Yeah. So maybe we should declare that, or make it a goal. I guess that'd be more realistic. But make it a goal that we would have just one ocean in the world that was war free, and why not the Pacific?
Well, the military is now doing what they call this this Pacific shift, or whatever they what do they call that?
The Pacific pirouette, the Pacific pivot.
Pivot, yeah, where they're kind of focusing on wars in the Pacific now.
You know what they call it? I checked in with one of the webmasters at a .mil website because I thought it was a typo, but they said what they're doing is they're rebalancing to the region.
Rebalancing, and these guys are, they hire companies to just make it sound palatable to people,
Well, I mean, what does that even mean, rebalancing to the region?
I have no idea.
Let's see perhaps if this caller has an idea. Aloha, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box. Thank you so much for calling in.
Some people say it's okay for the military to bomb the Pacific Ocean, something like that, right?
Yep.
just how you gentlemen feel about that.
Dave, how do you feel about that?
About bombing the ocean? I don't like it.
How about you, caller? How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like it's, I don't like it a bit, too. I mean, is that enough for this to our island and our people or my people?
Well, everybody is a person. I consider every person in the world to be one of my people.
Well, basically, our people got stepped on a lot. So today, we are still getting stepped on. So it's like, if anybody can do what they like and everyone can do what they want to do, why is it wrong for our people to do what we want to do and get our stuff back?
Yeah, that doesn't seem wrong to me. That seems quite reasonable.
Everyone speak of peace this and peace that, but look along peace. What did peace do from Queen Elizabeth? You always to know. What good would it ever do? We still get to get on. We still be stepped on. We use these, the college staff, they can see enough to wipe the, you know, off with.
Hey, caller.
Caller,
could you try to speak up? I really want people to be able to hear what you have to say, but you're really quiet.
Can you hear me now?
Better, yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. We actually is the rubbish. We're sitting on our food today, so yes. We're thinking they can take whatever, build whatever structures, and close down other structures, and leave guys with both towns. I mean, we, as the Hawaiian people, we still the call of Tampa. They're still wiping their corner with us. You know what I mean? When do we get our respect? I mean, where is the respect line? Basically, they think they can bomb our oceans, they can bomb our islands, Kahoolawe, people, many great animals, possible Kahoolawe. I mean, look at all of these people now that he's fighting for today. Are really rooting on David, on Barker, man, because Barker's wanting to leave the people free.
Well, you know what I think, caller? I think that people who don't respect other people, probably don't respect themselves.
Exactly, so they're the one that is not respecting anybody or anything. They're bombing and doing what they want, and then everyone else is being kicked on the curb. They're spinning on everyone else, and the sacrifice and all that. Things are still being used. Go to the website, go to Polihali. You're driving into Polihali, go look at all the crops that they're doing. All the chemical smell, you can still smell it from the dirt.
Yeah, you know, where I come from, which is this planet, I think it all starts with respect. And if you can't begin with respect, you're not going to get very far.
Well, this is the thing. I come from Kauai. I'm born and raised here, and I'm born of noble blood. I don't think there's, you know, anybody else who gets the Kuleana for saying, you know, they live here 30 years, make them Hawaiian. No. I mean, that to me, that is a disgrace right there, too. That's how they get the seal, the Hawaiian monk seal, no more such thing. I raised a godly soul. My family goes genealogies and genealogies beyond.
Well,
you know, I've been from Kauai my whole life. I know how it was. I know how to raise this side in one end to the other end. I see how everything not productive in the blink of an eye just in 20 years.
How old are you, caller? How long have you lived here on Kauai your whole life?
I lived around 35 years. Born and raised.
So it's a lot here has changed in the last 35 years, and not all for good, yeah?
Well, majority has never been for good. Majority of change never been good. All the outcomes have always been a rubbish. Now that they've opened Ontario on the south side, there's all that manure and gold, there's all that rubbish going straight to the ocean, killing off more of our food supply, our kalpara, fish. Right.
Is there anything that you've seen in the last 3.5 decades of change here on Kauai?
Yeah,
Is there anything that you've seen that has been a positive in from your perspective?
Positive. The only positive thing is everything, the gathering of all Polynesians that came in and all their hoivas, all the canoes in the North Shore. That's one. Another
that was awesome. That was totally awesome. I agree with you 100%.
You know, another one, the re-undoing of all the heiaus of the island. That's another positive. There's a lot of great part of us there. There's reinstructing the heiaus. I tap, I see these gentlemen all over cleaning the heiaus. They don't do a half-o'clock job. I mean, the state and the county, the only spare poison on their rocks in the heiau. That's our temple. It's embarrassing, a shame. I mean, people like talk about respect. I mean, how come everyone just to respect other people and other cultures. And then our hero just stepped on. He's like, okay, everyone respect that, like Christians and all that. We have nothing, or anyone has nothing against it. Buddhists and all, no one has anything against Buddhists. So what about the Hawaiians?
Yeah, I think that that respect and restoration and malama of the heiau, I think that's terribly important, and I think it's a really good. I'm really pleased to see some more of that, the beginnings of more of that.
Well, yeah, you know, there's more things that need to be, you know, like you said, more good needs to be done instead of more bad mistakes and bad choices and of judgment.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate you sharing your mana'o.
All right, brother, mahalo. You guys have a good day.
You too. Aloha.
Okay, local perspective there. So I guess RIMPAC started today, is that correct?
I don't know, Dave.
I saw a bunch of military vehicles flying over yesterday.
It kind of seems like RIMPAC started in 1893.
Yeah, it's still going on.
Yeah.
And it's, what, 2 weeks? Is that...
Well, you know, 1893, that's like what? That's like 121 years.
Yeah. Okay. well, let's see. Oh, something is, in that last show we had here, we talked to Commander Hay.
Yeah, Bruce, Captain Bruce Hay.
Captain Bruce Hay is the commander
of the Pacific Missile Range facility. There we go.
And they had a missile launch that they were going to send something up into space. And now they're talking about kind of changing the mission.
That's
over
the LSD saucer, LSDS?
Something like that.
Some real trippy name. I can't remember exactly what they
call
it. And
so they are kind of changing their mission a little bit now and doing more space-based launches rather than just trying to shoot missiles out of the air, you know, like Missile Defense Agency, something like that.
Well,
now they're putting up, you know, stuff into space, maybe even, I mean, that wasn't entirely military. It was somewhat of a research project.
I got to tell you, Dave, you know, if the big boys can really, truly only get their jollies from from launching rockets, I would rather have them launch rockets into space than at each other or our neighbors.
Right, as long as they have, you know, useful benefit to society rather than just blowing stuff up.
Yeah, blowing stuff up, it's kind of wasteful. Right.
So what if they transform that to a whole, you know, missile or a space station, you know, space platform of getting into space, maybe stuff to Mars or whatever, you know?
Well,
would that make you feel better about them if they weren't just entirely a military operation, if they're somewhat into space exploration and research?
Well, more important than what I think is what you think, the listener, at 826-7771. Call us in, and maybe you have an answer to Dave's question. Maybe you thought about it. I hope that someone will call in, because otherwise I'm going to answer Dave's question.
Really, you're going to hear your opinion on it.
And that isn't actually as exciting to me, because I already know what I think about that. I'd rather...
But I don't know what you think.
826-7771, if you want to call in and share what you think. You're like pulling my teeth, Dave.
Okay, well, we could play some music.
All right, I'll tell you what I think.
You got any music?
I'll tell you what I think. I think that we don't need to send any people into space. I don't think there's any planets nearby that are as nice as this one. I think we're already here on this planet. I think we have a lot that we need to change about how we interact with the planet. We've kind of been goofing up a little bit in these last couple hundred years. So rather than looking for Earth-like planets out there in space, or rather than trying to take Mars and terraform it or make it into a new Earth, I sure would be content if we just started loving this Earth and made this Earth into like a wonderful living place.
Well, that would be a nice start. From my standpoint, I would like to see us spread out more into the solar system or even the galaxy more, because right now we're very susceptible being on this planet.
That we're destroying.
Well,
that's the main threat.
Well,
that's the main threat right now to our species is us.
It may be. I mean, we could wreck it enough that we couldn't exist here anymore, but an asteroid can do that instantaneously, and then we'd be pow.
Yeah.
There'd be no more humans left anywhere in the universe as far as we know.
As far as we know.
But
I'd be okay with that.
But if we could, you know, put a colony on Mars.
No.
What, you don't want to explore Mars?
No, I want to explore Earth. You know how many nooks and crannies exist on this planet that we don't know anything about? You know how many plants and animals and microbes and fungi?
Well, this isn't just about you, though. I mean, you may not want to go to Mars, but
no, Dave,
as a species.
I don't want you to go to Mars.
Because
I love you.
I love you
too much to have you wander away to some other planet. I believe it's irresponsible.
I think we should have bases on Mars, and I'm sure we will. It's inevitable.
All right. See, you know, once again, Dave, you and I disagree.
Right.
But I'll tell you what I probably do agree with you about. I think it's wonderful to send little robots to other planets, like all those little miniature robot cars on Mars and the satellites flying around Jupiter. And we've got a satellite right now that's heading to Pluto. And it'll be at Pluto next July 2015. And that's...
Why is that exciting? Pluto's just a rock out there. I mean, it's not...
Have you been there before?
No, but
do we know anything about it?
I've seen pictures of it.
You have?
Yeah.
What?
It's a rock.
Have you seen artists... No, there are no pictures of Pluto, Dave. You've only seen artistic renditions.
No. I've seen pictures of Pluto.
There are no pictures of Pluto.
It's a dot on a film.
You don't know diddly about Pluto. Nobody does. Nobody does.
I know what is on Wikipedia. You know, it's a rock.
It's not a rock, actually, Dave, because it's too shiny to be a rock.
Too shiny to be a rock.
It's too shiny. Yeah, it has a very high albedo. It's a very reflective surface.
Is that like libido?
It could be.
Could be. I'm more excited about going to, say, Mars. There's also...
You're never going to Mars, Dave. I hate to break it to you. Never going to Mars.
I hope you're wrong about that.
Okay.
I'd like to go.
Okay.
But then there's also some interesting satellites around Jupiter.
Yeah, that's cool.
And,
I love
Saturn.
I love that.
That have water that are likely to contain life.
Yep.
I think those are more exciting to visit than... You know, an icy rock that's too far away from the sun to have any energy of its own.
We don't need to have people on Europa to explore Europa. We can send satellites and robots, exploratory robots.
Right.
And we don't have to, like...
Until we go visit there ourselves. You know, we can have the robots build our shelters for us, and then we go live in them.
I love these space-based, magical thinking fantasies that so many people have. I love that. Do you know how many gallons of gasoline it would take to get to Mars?
Oh, well, you'll never get there on gasoline. I think we will eventually, if we don't get hit by the asteroid... You know, we could populate within 100 light years of here.
Uh-huh.
You know, over the next several thousand years.
Uh-huh.
But if we don't get off the planet, then we may not even last that long.
Okay, that may be true, Dave, but if we don't get it together here on this planet, then we're never going to explore any other planet. So it all begins at home. And I would say, I mean, if I was like in charge of if I was God, if I was in charge of the universe, I would say, okay, Homo sapiens, you little monkeys on that blue planet right there, you are not allowed to go to other planets until you can take care of your own house.
Well, there are people that say that that is a rule already, that there are other populations, other intelligent species that have visited Earth, and they are protecting themselves from us.
Yeah.
And they won't allow us to have the technology to get off the planet until we do what you say.
Would you allow us to invade your planet?
Well, you can't bring your weapons with you. You can come visit, but you can't take it over of thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it seems like whenever Homo sapiens go to a new place, the first thing they do is, like, kick the butts of the people who were there. You know, and Hawaii, I mean, that's what happened in Hawaii. You had Hawaiians living here for over 1,000 years. The Europeans come in with guns and disease and, like, crazy notions of private ownership of property. And it just, turns to a mess.
kind of brings up a question, a kind of philosophical question. For example, if you came up with a technology of free energy and you could give it to everybody for free.
I wouldn't do it.
Would you do it or not? Because or would you apply conditions to it and say, okay, I'll give you this technology, but first you have to clean up the environment, clean up the oceans and the rivers and everything, and then you can have it. Or something to that effect. Or it's got only can be used for good, cannot be used for wars, if there's a way of enforcing that.
Well,
so if you invented this technology, you wouldn't share it?
Nope.
And why is that?
Because any technology that you have that exceeds the wisdom that you have on how to use it properly or improperly is dangerous technology. That's why you don't give AK-47s to 3-year-olds. Okay, maybe is that like a sensible gun policy we could all agree on?
I would agree on that.
Yeah, well,
not the NRA may not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the NRA's position is with AK-47s and 3-year-olds.
They would probably be against it because it's gun control.
Well, let's open the microphone up to listeners who have never called in before at 826-7771. And share your perspective, introduce a new topic if you wish, or comment on some of the things we've already talked about. But otherwise, Dave and I'll just, you know, argue with each other like we always do.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Because you're wrong so much, Dave.
I know. That's what everybody tells me.
Maybe Dick Cheney. Maybe Dick Cheney's more wrong about some things than you.
Okay. We have a caller.
Yay. Aloha, caller. Welcome to KKCR Out of the Box.
Are you soliciting new listeners or something? I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
No, we're trying to get people to call in and talk to us.
Well, and not just talk to us, but talk to the rest of the community. These are your airwaves.
I guess he didn't have anything to say.
Well, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
He asked a question. Are we trying to get new listeners? No, that is not our intention.
Well, that must be the royal.
We're trying to get new callers.
Might be the royal, because I would say absolutely. I would disagree with you again, Dave.
Oh, God, I'm wrong again.
Well, you're not wrong. It's just we have different views. And, you know, having different views is sometimes a great way to make a valuable conversation. Because we just think if we all agree with each other all the time, we'd never learn anything.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I want to talk about RIMPAC again.
Awesome.
Okay. Okay, so,
what about it?
In Kekaha, because they fixed the boat harbor, the Kikiola boat harbor, our sand is all gone. Our sand was the only playground, really, that all of our children had and shared.
Yeah, that whole beach got sort of eroded away.
Yes.
Now, I mean, is this just in the last couple of weeks?
No, this is like in the last 2-3 years.
This has been like in about 3 years when they first fixed that Kikiola boat harbor, when they were expecting all the people from Hanalei to move to Kikiola to take the tourists to Napali.
Okay, right.
That's when they improved it.
So, well, but, you know, I think what you're saying, caller, is the changes that they made were not entirely improvements, yeah?
That's right. And this is what I think. I had told Gary Hooser about it, too, because he said there was nothing to do about the sand, bringing the sand back to Kekaha. It's just we hope that time will do it. But this is what I say. Because we have the RIMPAC, why don't they put a big target on the improvements they make to keep it harbor, and they can practice farming it? So that's my idea, and I thought that was kind of outside of the box.
That's outside of the box.
Yeah.
So. Now, what is the state of the beach right now? I was there a couple of months ago, and there was more sand there now than I saw last year, but I don't get there very often. What is the...
Absolutely. It was really promising that the sand would be coming back, but, you know, now it's a summer surf, the currents change, and... the North Shore swells die off, and so that's when our sand disappears altogether. But, you know, there's a little build up, and so we're hopeful. you know. But, you know, Tekaha, we put up with a lot. We put up with all of the rubbish dump stuff.
Yeah, Opala.
Yeah, and then we put up with taking our sand away. And we're just easygoing kind of people out there in Tekaha. And we kind of like being at the end of the line and not too many newcomers moving in, you know.
Sure.
If we have to wait for 5 cars to pass before we can get into the highway flow, you know, that's a long wait. We love it.
Wow, there's so many beautiful parts and pieces of this island. And
yes.
And they're all different from each other. And to me, that's a really wonderful thing, because it seems like the longer that you're here, I've been on Kauai for, I've been blessed to be here for 11 years now. And it seems like the longer that you're here, the bigger the island gets. You know, more places that unexplored to find out about.
Yes, there's always surprises, and it is a beautiful, wonderful place to be. And I agree with you. We are one planet, and we are one people. And there's a reason why I guess we end our prayers with amen. So, and I am not religious, but I think it is one man, so amen.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in. I think it's an interesting suggestion you have to take some of that military capacity and turn it to different projects.
Yeah, maybe we should just go out there and paint a target on that boat, that area. Okay, you have a good day.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
I was doing some work a few years ago over in Kauai High Harbor, and they...
Hold that thought, Dave. Wait. We got a caller.
Let's go to the phones.
Aloha, caller.
Hi.
Welcome to Out of the Box. Thank you so much for joining us here on one of KKCR's premier afternoon call-in talk shows.
Thank you very much. I was just wondering, didn't they stop poisoning on the side of the road?
No, they have not.
Oh.
They have not stopped. It seems like I think they're still doing, yeah.
I think the county stopped, but the state still does it.
I don't know if the county stopped either. We should find out. We'll call the county and find out.
You're going up Wailua Hill. They poisoned the whole side of the road going up to Wailua Hill, and it's just like a direct shot right into the river.
You mean Kuamo'o?
Yeah, as you're climbing up from Coco Palms and you're going up to Wailua, the whole side of the big hill, they poison the crap out of it, and all that poison just runs off, and it goes right into the stream.
I noticed along the state highways, they still do. I don't know if they do it along the county roads anymore. I thought I heard a few years ago that they were going to stop doing that.
Yeah, I heard that but we should check in.
I know the state roads, they still spray.
Yeah, state loves spray.
Well, and then what kind of poison are they, you know, can we get to find out, like, what they're using and stuff? Are they even making an attempt to be compared?
I've never tried to find out, I doubt if it's on our website or anything like that, but somebody might be able to call them.
Well, I don't know about you, Dave, but I'm sure if the state is using herbicides to control weeds on the side of the roads, that it's perfectly safe. Or else they wouldn't do it.
That's right. And only under the conditions that are listed on the label.
Responsible use, Dave.
Not in the rain.
Nope.
Not in the wind.
So does the label state that you can't use it within like 50 yards of a stream?
It depends on what it is.
Where you're about 15 to 20 feet off the side of the road, probably even less. And it's just, you got the whole hill all the way from the top as soon as it rains. All that poison is going right into the river.
Doesn't sound like a great idea.
Well, it's done. You know, that's what
yeah.
they do.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I had another question that hopefully you guys have an answer for, but probably not.
Well, there's nobody else but you on the line at 826-7771, so please continue.
How much of your yard are you allowed to poison? Like, if I own a 4-acre parcel, can I just go outside and spray my whole 4 acres with herbicides and death?
Well, as long as you are being 100% safe about it, I think you should be allowed to spray all day until the cows come home. You have to keep it on your property, though. You can't overspray. That's not a good neighbor.
I think you're allowed to do anything that's legal. you can go out to Ace Hardware and buy some pesticides and do it according to the label, and then it's legal.
You could even put it on your breakfast cereal. You could just sprinkle it on your bowl in your breakfast cereal. But I'm not going to eat that breakfast cereal.
But somebody sprayed it on your breakfast cereal and served it to you.
No, they can spray it on their own breakfast cereal, not on mine.
Well, they already did, unfortunately, so it's there. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Aloha, everyone. So as a person who has used a lot of herbicides in the past for work, for farming, whatever, I can maybe answer a couple of that previous caller's questions.
Awesome.
So I'm totally in agreement with the previous caller about, spraying on the sides of the roads and the issues with runoff and rain and all that. But at the same time, there is a time and a place where herbicides can be used effectively in a, quote, hygienic environmental manner. But the majority of people, definitely the companies over on the west side, do not do this. But yes, you can use herbicides effectively, hygienically, where you're not poisoning the rest of the earth.
Let me ask you this caller, because when you say herbicides, there's more than one kind of herbicide, yeah? I mean, there's thousands.
Sure. Most common one is glyphosate, which is the generic version of the main component of Roundup. Not all Roundup or glyphosate is made by Monsanto. You know, just to go off on this, tangent about how bad Monsanto is, we all agree Monsanto's terrible or whatever, but not everyone who's spraying glyphosate is using something from Monsanto. Just to clarify that for people that
I don't think Monsanto is terrible. They just do bad things. They're not bad people.
Whatever.
Exactly. I disagree.
I agree. But whatever, you can say whatever. And I'm not a person who is a fan of doing broad applications of herbicides. But just like every tool, there is an appropriate use for them, and there is an inappropriate use for them.
Okay, like take DDT. Take DDT. What? DDT. Yeah, DDT.
That's not, first of all, that's not an herbicide.
What is?
That DDT is dealing with
insecticide.
Bugs.
Okay, pesticide. Okay. All right. All right.
Different thing.
How about Agent Orange then?
Agent Orange is a herbicide.
That's a herbicide. Okay.
It's now no longer legal.
Well, but it was at one time.
Right.
And 2,4-D is legal. Half of that you can.
Oh yeah, and I'm not totally into 2,4-D. Pretty much the only thing I'm comfortable with using is glyphosate in certain applications.
Let's say
you are doing a conservation restoration project, right?
Okay.
And you have all these invasive trees, right? The reason why these trees are invasive is, you try to cut down that tree, guess what? It's going to grow back and just laugh at you. So one of the only ways, if you are to do effective restoration with, trying to establish a native forest, let's say, is to do something, for example, like taking a drill.
Right.
If you will, hygienically putting in a puka into that tree and then taking a small applicator bottle, maybe even something as minute as a syringe, and plugging in a small amount into that tree.
Sure, direct point, application, yeah.
Right. And so I'm not calling here to say that I am pro-chemical companies. I am pro-chemical. I am this and that. I love this spray. But there are effective ways to do things, and there are certain times where, let's say, the state is spraying on the highway, and yes, sometimes they're really close to the streams. Sometimes it rains really hard right after they spray stuff, and then that goes into our water, messes up all kinds of things, has a lot of ecological consequences. However, there are moments And I don't advocate broad spraying of herbicide in any manner, whether it's from a truck or from a 5-gallon spray pack. But there are moments when that spray is done and it doesn't rain, where within an hour or so, only the plants of which those species had been applied with that chemical are affected, and there are no other ecological consequences. However, most of the guys who use these chemicals don't read the labels, and you can never predict what the weather is going to do. So, yeah.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. You can make lots of predictions about what the weather is going to do.
But that's not, you can predict.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's actually what's going to happen.
Yeah, right, you may not be right.
Right. Okay, fair enough. And so that also is a consequence of why these chemicals have dangerous effects. I mean, the USDA makes these guidelines where, okay, these guys are spraying and they're allowed to spray as long as the wind isn't blowing so hard and they have to have someone monitoring. But like you said, like in the middle of something, of a normal nice day, all of a sudden it could change. The weather gets really rainy, it gets really windy,
Conditions can change.
And I'm in no way here to advocate that spraying herbicides or pesticides is something that should be done on a broad spectrum. However, I also want to just emphasize that there is a time and a place for these things, and they are a management tool that can be used effectively. However, the reality of that is maybe one out of every 99 times that it will be, properly used. The other thing is that whether it's an herbicide or a pesticide or an insecticide, it's very hard to manage for things in Hawaii, whether you're doing agricultural work or you're doing restoration of things, because Hawaii is a place that evolutionarily evolved without all these pest creatures, all these different diseases and funguses, invasive grasses. And then, pretty much in the last 200 years, through various ways of either purposeful introduction or non-intentional introduction, there's been all these new diseases, funguses, animals, invasive grasses, invasive trees, invasive shrubs.
Yeah, invasive people.
Invasive people, whatever, where, if we feel that we want to preserve things, we want to grow certain things, it's something that we need to recognize the reality of things are, and until everyone stops commuting, doing their 9-to-5 every day, and we're all out there, busting our butts, maybe not even eating very well, but just working the land, not even doing what I'm doing now about complaining about things, then maybe we can get away from all this chemicals or other things that can be deleterious to the environment. But until that, I don't see the point of us bickering about it, because we're all in this paradigm where unless we're all working together, working with the land every day, we can't get away with managing for things and insects and bugs and diseases and invasive species unless we're all working together.
Well, it's certainly not a simple situation.
There's not simple answers.
Right. And I want to ask you to kind of hold your thought, because we're going to go to the top of the hour. Yeah, we got to do some announcements, but stick around if you like.
I'm all power, and okay. I think it comes down to is just like you said, there is no simple solution, and I just wanted to just bring these thoughts out into the community and just realize it's a lot more complex than at least what I'm hearing from a lot of the dialogue in the last couple of months here on the radio. And I just appreciate you guys for your time, and thank you for everything, and aloha.
All right. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Okay. A proponent of responsible use of pesticides.
Yeah, he's a careful considerer. We're gonna go do our top of the hour announcements and stuff. If you're just calling in right now, you can kind of bear with us. We got a couple of radio station business to take care of, and we'll be right back with more Out of the Box on KKCR.
Okay, it's 5:00, and you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio. Oh, also, I can't forget K284AL in Haleiwa. And Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you. in partnership with the following underwriters.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Island Metals, Kauai's one-stop shop for all things metal roofing and siding. Manufacturing custom orders to your exact specifications in just 1 to 2 days. Right here on Kauai. Contractors and homeowners welcome. More information at 246-4600. Online at islandmetals.com or at our shop in Honolulu. At All Island Metals, we have you covered.
Mahalo to those wonderful underwriters. Okay, well, we have another caller, so we're going to go to the phones.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to KKCR's Out of the Box.
Well, I just want to remind you guys, for anybody who cares, that guy wasn't a first-time caller either.
Are you a first-time caller, caller?
No, of course not.
Aha.
I like what that guy said. I've heard him before, you know, and I like how he says, you know, well, 1 in 100 times maybe it's applicable, you know.
Yeah, some people might disagree. They might say, no, only 1 in 1,000 times.
Well, versus, you know, I mean, I don't want to spray any poisons in my yard, and I never have.
Well, I thought it was actually interesting, the example that he used about topical application to a tree stump involved absolutely no spraying whatsoever.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, most trees, a lot of trees that are removed, don't necessarily have to be removed. It depends on where you're coming from. I mean, I don't know. I mean, anyways.
Okay, did you have a question?
You guys are definitely aren't the first time speakers, you know.
True.
You know?
That's very true.
You guys want a respite. You know, you ask someone to take your place, you know. Yeah. You guys probably get bored and tired and would rather do something else yourself.
Actually, I love doing this, but I think you have made an excellent suggestion, and I want to thank you for that.
I like how you guys respond, and you guys are both bright and caring people, you know, and I think you do a great job.
Okay, thanks for the call.
We've got another caller standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
I wanted to just comment on what the last call, the caller, sorry, I have a cold. The caller that called before the last caller.
Okay. I think I know which caller you mean.
The pesticides.
2 calls ago. Okay. Yeah.
Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I don't know, because I personally, I take care of like 3.5 acres. And we don't spray anything or use any poisons. You know, we do everything manually, and it's 2 of us that do it.
So how do you respond to to plants that you don't want there or want less of? How do you deal with that? What's your management strategy?
Well, we use gas to power our weed eaters, and we do it manually. Whatever we can't get with the weed eaters or a mower, we do manually. You know, if it's in a garden bed or something like that. And I can understand, I don't know, I don't personally use it, but I kind of relate with what he was saying as far as there is a time and place when it can be very useful for large, you know, eradication and things like that. And I have friends who have done that in the past for the state and the county as far as like going in and eradicating albizias, you know, like
sure.
Up in Hanakapiai Valley and
sure,
stuff like
you
that.
Chop them down and get the stump low, and then what he was saying, you know,
exactly.
Paint a little toxin on that, kill the stump, and then grind it out. Yeah, that's seems like a good idea to keep the tree from growing back. But you know, that's like surgical application. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and I don't know. I agree that people use it too much, and there is a fantasy that everybody has, like, oh, get back to the earth and everything's going to be easy and awesome and everybody's going to grow their own food and this and that. And the truth is, it's really hard work.
I mean,
like you said, you got to quit your job and you're probably not going to be eating as well because you're going to be working your ass off. Oh, your butt off.
Just you can say ass. That's not one of the seven words you can't say. But, you know, try and keep it as polite as you can.
Only say it once. So, yeah, that's it, really. I mean, people definitely use it too often. And I think what I was going to say is people are living in a fantasy world where, you know, it's hard work. And it's not easy, and most people would not do it unless they absolutely had to.
And I'll bet you're right about that.
That's pretty much, in my opinion, what it comes down to. So I would say for those people who want to do it and can do it, keep doing it and try to influence other people. But I don't think poisons are going to stop being used. I think that there should be more strict rules as far as people personally using them and companies using them, you know, like totally irresponsibly. But
well, you know, tell me what you think of this, because, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. But if you do something and it has a negative consequence, you should have to be responsible for that negative consequence. It's like, you know, if you saturate the land with herbicide and you kill the soil, you degrade the soil. You know, you degrade the life of the land. That's a cost, and you're making everybody else around you pay for that. You know, you should have to deal with the consequences of your own actions.
What are the consequences?
Well, if you degrade the life of the land, you should be responsible to restore the life of the land, to bring it back to the condition that it was before you dosed it.
I agree completely. Because it's like on the West, it's not irreversible. You know, it's like Dave was saying earlier, I don't think humans can get this planet to a place where it would never recover. You know, an asteroid could, but I don't think we could.
Well, yeah, given enough, like, you know, another billion or 2 years, I'm sure the planet will be fine after we're not here anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Peace cake.
Well, the planet's got several billions of years. You know, the planet's got nothing but time, so.
Yeah, we're the ones.
Yeah, we are.
I guess everything else on this planet that we're wiping out, but I agree. I think people should have to pay the price. Whatever it is.
Well, they shouldn't be able to externalize their expenses onto other people. That's really what it seems like it comes down to.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Walmart. You know, Walmart pays their employees so little that they have to go on food stamps and get other public assistance. So it costs the federal government $5,000 per employee, per Walmart employee, in services that they should be providing themselves. They should be paying them, you know, these workers well enough.
They've externalized their labor expenses. And I don't think that Walmart's paying their fair share of taxes. So they're not even paying for those social services either.
Right.
Really? Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, it's part of their business model.
Yeah, those Waltons didn't get to be billionaires for nothing.
It's tricky, you know. It's like companies are—they can be really, really bad things. It's not the people necessarily. There's not like one person at the top being like, "I'm going to be a jerk to everyone." It's just the way things go, and money, and you know, just the whole thing. You know, somebody—it's funny because I was at like a presentation yesterday, and this guy said, "What was he?" He was basically saying, "Money's not evil. People become evil when they get money." Like, you can put $1 million in a sealed room that's 24-hour surveillance, and he's like, I guarantee you that money won't do anything bad.
Right, by itself. If left to its own devices. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. But right. If you put to a bad person, guarantee you something bad. And he said people can do bad things without money, too. People can do good things, but...
Right. Well, you know, people say guns don't kill, bullets do. Well, I think, you know, in your example, you take all the ammunition and put it in a room, put the surveillance cameras on there. It's not going to kill anybody.
It might. If it's the wrong condition, maybe it's...
Oh, it could blow up. It could blow up. All right, good point. I stand corrected.
I guess that's all I had to say. I just wanted to agree and disagree with the guy who... I'm kind of like in the in-between because I am personally doing the work, and I know that most people wouldn't do what I'm doing. And I I have mixed feelings about it. I won't ever use it here on our land, but I can see why it is being used, and I do feel it should be way more strict than it is. And you know, I agree. If somebody's trying to plant a native forest, and or you know, like you know, restore an area into its native ways, and it's just getting grass is there. It's like you either have to use a lot of machines and a lot of manpower again and again and again, or you can come in and spray it responsibly, and it dissipates. Certain ones dissipate and disappear, but it's not. So I don't know. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
Disappear. Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I am a first-time caller, by the way.
Oh, that's all awesome. Right. Thank you so much for calling in. How did it feel?
Oh, it's awesome. I just had to turn my radio down so I didn't get all nervous.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much for calling in. And other listeners out there, see how easy that was? We didn't chew his head off, didn't argue with him. We listened respectfully. If you don't hear somebody saying the things that you're thinking, well, that's because you haven't called in and said it yourself.
Right. Hey, we were talking a couple of callers ago, not the last one.
The other one.
We were talking about putting a target on the seawalls there at the harbor.
Oh, right, huh?
Okay, so I was doing an environmental study at the Kauai High Harbor on a big island, and I was going through some files at the health department, and they said, in 1962 or something like that, they had a plan. They were going to dredge the harbor using an atom bomb. So they were going to place maybe several atom bombs in there and just blow out the rock and the coral and everything and make a nice deep channel for bringing in some big ships into the
Kauai Harbor. Some radioactive waste.
And so I said, well, you know, you might have a problem out here. You know, if you try to dredge out there now, some of the stuff might be radioactive. And it took me a while to realize that they never did actually use it. They used chemical explosives, but they never did. But they were seriously considering using atom bombs to clear that harbor. I mean, they had a program back in the 60s after...
Atoms for Peace.
They were trying to find, you know, peaceful uses of
What can we do with this here atom thing?
We got all these bombs.
What are we going to do with them?
So in Colorado, they actually used them. They set off like 6 or 7 atom bombs to try and break up some rock formations and release gas deposits, you know, natural gas deposits that were underneath there.
Using atomic bombs to extract natural, like fracking with atoms, nuclear fracking. That's awesome.
And
what an awesome idea.
And they actually did it. They blew up 5 or 6 in Ruleson, Colorado, and all they got was a small amount of gas out, and it was all radioactive. They couldn't use it.
Gee, now who could have predicted that?
I don't know.
Sometimes things just don't work out.
This did not. But they're back in there drilling again. They'll probably end up pulling that radioactive gas out anyway. So
speaking of things not working out, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news lately, but in Iraq.
Is there something going on in Iraq?
Well, Iraq is a place in the world that you may have heard of before, and we're going to get into that right after we hear from this caller, because this is a call-in show. The number is 826-7771, and we're trying to see how many callers we can get in one show. So come on in and speak your mind or your heart. What's on your heart, brother?
Well, Iraq. I want to talk about that. You know, I want the U.S. to get the hell out of there, stop funding the prison regime. And
so, Colin, do you think we should we bomb Iraq? I mean,
of course not.
Well, that's what the big question is on all the network news. Should we bomb or not? I mean, that's always what it comes down to.
Yeah, well, we bombed last time. And all it did was to kill the whole mess of people. It didn't solve nothing.
How did that work out?
Well, you know, we got blowback now. We supported one group against another. We supported the Shiites, and they've run roughshod over the Sunni.
Yeah, the Sunni. And Sunni didn't seem to like it.
Right. And the Sunni Awakening, who they tried to buy off, and they were claiming that it was a big success, or have joined hands with the Levant, with those guys.
Yeah, ISIL.
And,
ISIL.
Yeah, and a lot of resistors who don't want the U.S. there, who have nothing to do with the Levant, and maybe some ex-Baptists who have arms, who want the U.S. to leave the country. And it's a big mess that we've created, and the best thing to do is to get out. you know, and cut all those military ties that we have there. And by the way, we should stop these RIMPAC exercises anyway. Too much money spent on militarism.
Well, caller,
any problem.
You say that, caller. You say that we spend too much money on the military, but, I mean, what else would you have us do with all that money?
You remember when Bruce Hayes came on your show?
Yeah.
And you asked him the question what he could do with that money besides spending it on missiles and bombs, and he said public transportation.
Yeah, I thought that was a good answer, actually.
Yeah, sure, you know what I mean? So we got to spend it on social services like housing and, you know, putting solar on every single roof that we have in the nation, you know, every single roof in Hawaii. We got to do alternatives, you know. We got to stop building weapons of war and start taking care of business. There's a lot of things that have to be done, and we can build it.
Well, you know,
we can employ a lot of people that way.
You say that, caller, but I mean, that would take a lot of money. I mean, you'd need like $1 trillion to do that.
Well, you know,
that.
There's an elephant. Yeah,
where are we going to find that money? You know, where are we going to find that money?
Well, we're going to have to cut the military budget and stop funding all these military bases around the world, about 1,000 of them.
Well, but we need to have some bases, don't we?
Nah, no need, you know.
Don't we need 850 military bases in 137 countries around the world? Don't we need that?
Of course not. You know, we can spend that money on social needs. The first thing that we can do towards peace is put down our weapons.
I don't know. I have my doubts on that, caller.
I'm not so certain.
So you're saying that if we just stop being violent and then direct our resources to actual human needs, that we might all be happier?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, all these ceded lands that we got here, these so-called, actually, the stolen lands from the Kanaka, you know, they have bases on, like Pohakuloa and, you know, like
Makua.
The base. Yeah, all those places.
Mana.
Yeah, Mana, all those places. Give it back to the Kanaka. That's their land, and I'm sure they know what to do with it. You know, they're very intelligent people, and they can figure it out how they can use the land to survive. We can start there.
Are you so sure about that? I mean, they did know what to do with it for over 1,500 years, but...
Did they forgot?
No, they didn't forget.
I don't think so. I think they forgot.
No, they didn't forget it all. They know what they want, and they should get it. But anyway, I'd like you guys to talk about Iraq and stuff like that. And, you know, it's good to talk about pesticides and everything because those are local issues that affect all of us. I'm very active in that struggle. You know, I was active in 2491 in a big way. But also the question of militarism like RIMPAC and Iraq, we have to start talking about those kinds of things too. We have to start talking about the lead up towards militarism and war, especially here in the Pacific. You know, and Hawaii is the headquarters for the U.S. military here.
PACCOM.
You know, the planning control of the Pacific. America sees the Pacific as its lake, you know.
So, caller, how are you celebrating RIMPAC?
What are you doing for RIMPAC?
Well,
How are you celebrating?
Well, I'm working with Oceans for Peace, and that's with a coalition of several groups. That's the... Surf Rider Foundation and Kahoolaleo. Let me see now, Kakwai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice.
The usual suspects.
Yeah, the usual suspects in anti-war and peace advocates working together for, you know, stopping for preparations for war, you know, and logical allies on important causes. Same old suspects, but we have to do that.
Well, teamwork, coming together in alliances, huh? That's maybe an interesting
strategy.
Well,
you know, on your radio, you've had pretty interesting people like Katie Music talking about corals, the destruction to corals, you know, and the decibels that will be coming from the bombing. You've had Kyle Kajihiro call up about... you know, militarism in Hawaii and what is happening, what role Hawaii plays in this mess. You know, so you've had some interesting characters come on your show and talk. And, you know, I'm really, really happy that you had the commander from the base come and talk as well.
I thought he had some really interesting things to say.
Yeah, and you didn't attack him personally, and if you start attacking them, they're not going to call. So it was important... for you to bring them onto your show and ask them these questions.
Well, they invited us to tour the facility there also afterwards.
Go down and check it out.
I haven't been able to do that yet.
But I think you're right, caller. I think, and another caller brought this up earlier in the show, it all begins with respect. Because if you can't respect yourself and if you can't respect someone else, then you're never going to get past zero.
And there's reasons why the U.S. wants to keep control of the Pacific. It sees China as its competitor economically, and it has its allies that it's uniting with to make sure that these economic interests are within U.S. hands. You know, shipping lanes and products, natural resources and things of that nature, you know, and it's important for the U.S. from its point of view, from its capitalist point of view, is to secure these resources.
Well, I think it's important for everybody on the whole planet to secure these resources. And I think, you know, different people have different ideas about exactly what that means. You know, mm-hmm. one of the biggest resources we have on this planet is the vast and intricate web of life. And that's mm-hmm. a bias, you know. That's a I own that. But as a living creature, I admit and own that I am biased towards life.
Well, you know, I would like to make a suggestion to the both of you, because the both of you are very concerned about war and peace and militarism. And every time you get on the air, talk about it. Bring something up, you know. Let's not just talk about pesticides. Yeah, important issue to talk about. But let's talk about militarism as well and the preparation for war, which is going to be affecting everybody. You know, the biggest polluter in the world is the U.S. military. We all know that. You know?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I will thank you for... Yeah. Thank you so much
you for
calling in.
Giving me time, and I'll make sure that every program you guys on, let's talk about this situation, okay?
Aloha.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for standing by, caller. We're going to try and, you know, not be so long in between calls, but thank you so much for holding and... calling in, what did you have to say or share with us today?
Jonathan, what happens if you disrespect a mafia boss?
He'll probably kneecap you or something.
Yeah, right. You know, so, you know, sometimes it's not about respect, it's about defiance and rebellion.
I can respect that.
Good one. I like that. You're funny.
Right.
You know, when the RIMPAC guy the captain from Rifle Range was on your show.
Yeah, Captain Bruce Hay.
Even though, you know, I felt a responsibility to be polite and gracious to the guy.
That's good, because you know what? If you hadn't been, we would have cut you off.
Well, I might get aced. I might get axed in the head, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but if you know...
I'm not sure that that has anything to do with it.
Okay.
You know?
More like a predator drone.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, even if the mayor was on, I'd have to be careful what I'd say, you know?
Well, it never hurts to be polite, especially...
Or the police chief.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know. If you're not polite to a mafia kingpin, what's going to happen to you?
You're going to get a horse head in your bed.
Yeah, exactly. So whether it's respect is different than cowering, you know. I don't know how you want to define it. It can be defined in more than one way. But when that RIMCAT guy was on.
RIMCAT, I like that.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to, I go, well, this will be the only time I'll ever be able to confront him, you know, and there's nothing that I could do or say that would ever change anything that he's going to do.
You don't know that.
Well, yeah, I do, you know. Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay, I don't believe that you know that.
I believe that there'd be nothing that I could do or say on that program to change anything, right? And so even though I was thinking I wanted later when I hung up, I go, because I made a gesture like, you know, because he made, you know, what we support, we give 1,000 jobs, you know, to people. And I go, well, who needs the money? You know what I mean? You know, and I think it'd be better to go back to living the old ancient Hawaiian way, right? Or the way of the old world, right? But at any rate, I wanted to say, I should have said, I thought later, I go, well, you're a weapons expert, aren't you?
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, he would have gone, well, yeah. And I go, well, you're trained in not just big, like, Hellfire missiles and nuclear submarine stuff. You're also probably a pretty good marksman. And he'd probably go, well, yeah, you have to be. I'm in the military, dummy. You know? And I go, and then I wanted to go, well, do you think You could, like, sit in that library where Lee Harvey Oswald supposedly assassinated John F. Kennedy and click off three rounds from that bolt-action rifle.
Where are you going with this one, caller?
That nobody could do. They've already proven that. You know, there's no way that Lee Harvey Oswald assassinated John F. Kennedy, right?
Okay, well, good. I'm glad we're clear on that.
And where I'm going is that when the United States of America, back in the 60s, I mean, you brought up stuff about the atom bombs that we're going to use in Colorado or in Hawaii to clear the channel, right?
Digging a big hole.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, you know, when the United States populace, general population, let this conspiracy go get away with assassinating...
Hold on. Caller.
What?
We've got another caller on the line.
I'll leave it with this.
Okay.
When we're trying to do all these stuff in the present tense, right, you know, part of the resurrection of past sins, or whatever you want to call them, is realizing that JFK was killed by our own government in cahoots with whoever else.
All right, well, caller, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for bringing that up. I really appreciate you sharing your perspective with us.
It's just a disgrace that most people never even think about it, and they still basically consider, well, Lee Harvey Oswald is...
All right, well, thank you for calling in about that. We'll have plenty of time in the future also to hash out the JFK assassination scenario and, find out exactly what that magic bullet was all about. But,
I lost the next call.
Well, you weren't fast enough, Dave.
Yeah. Okay.
Please call back, caller.
826-7771.
Yeah, we want to try and make...
Just recap a little bit. We're kind of shifting into Iraq a little bit. Some of the... Iraq, a third of the country's been taken over now by ISIS.
We've got a caller.
Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or Levant, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But they were trained by the U.S. in Jordan.
Aloha, caller.
Hey, how's it, Dustin J? What's up, Rana?
Good, how are you?
Good. You know what? You guys get ID caller?
No. Would like, huh?
Huh?
Would be nice.
Yeah. Go get the phone. It makes me so sick, man.
You know what would be... Actually, you brought up a really good point, caller. And I want to take a moment right now. Thanks for reminding me. Dave and I do the show by ourselves. Well, here's what I want to say. It's complicated to run the board. Dave mostly takes care of that. And it's complicated to, you know, navigate these discussions with the callers. So I try and, you know, head on that end. But what we don't have a third person on our team here on the show. Because if we did, then that person could run the phones. And then they would be able to handle the callers better.
You make that guy be the third person.
Yeah, that's a great idea, because then he wouldn't call in.
Robin Taylor is that guy.
What's that?
Maybe you make a good comedian guy instead of Robin Taylor. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, caller.
Did you what?
Aloha, and we got another caller standing by. Aloha, caller.
Who is that, Robert Paul?
I don't know, but Danny.
It sounded like it. You know, am I supposed to be afraid of Robert?
No. Hold on.
Wait, hold on. We're not going to do
hold
this.
Hold on. What the caller was suggesting was that maybe it might be good if you came into the studio and answered the phone. I mean, clearly you like to call on the phone, so maybe you could receive the phone calls from other callers, and that way they could get on the radio.
Right. Okay, so no calls in right now. So in Iraq, a third of the country's been taken over by a group that is supported by the U.S.
Well, not supported by, financed into existence.
Okay, financed, trained, and armed by the U.S.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay,
that's fair.
And to fight a government that, you know, we destroyed a country for and put into place.
And when you say we, Dave, just to be careful, you don't mean you,
and you don't
mean me.
Right, no. So, a couple of days ago, a bunch of the ISIS positions were bombed.
Okay? Oh, really?
And so,
oh, who bombed them?
Well, at first everybody thought it was the U.S. Maybe sent some drones over there or something like that.
Was it the Syrian planes? Is that what it was?
But now they're saying it was Syria.
Yeah, I think
okay,
I heard
so
that
now
story.
Syria. Well, I don't know if they've admitted it or confirmed that. But
well, they said it was. they said it was jets with Syrian markings on it that okay. came from Syria and then went back to Syria.
Okay.
So people then concluded that it might be Syrian jets.
Well, it might be Syria, but it also could be Israeli jets. They've been known to do that as well. So here, you know, now, and then 2 days ago, Israel bombed Syria, okay? But they'll bomb several different locations in Syria. So Israel's bombing Syria. Syria's bombing Iraq. You know, Iraq is attacking itself. I mean, the whole thing is in flames in that region.
Hmm.
And it's like, you know, the U.S. is behind, U.S. and Israel are behind the whole thing. And I think that's the intention, is to just create chaos. And
don't forget the Saudis. The Saudis?
The Saudis.
They've got a hand in it.
Yeah, they're funding ISIS.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, the ISIS or ISIL, ISIL.
It's the same thing. ISIL, yeah. That's so, the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant.
Levant. And that's
which is the same thing as the Iraqi state of...
Well, Syria is part of the Levant, and this is kind of an anachronistic name of that area.
Yeah.
We don't hear that very often, but I had to look it up too. And this is interesting because this is how we get our geography lessons in this country.
Yeah, who are we invading?
Yeah, who are we at war with now?
Right,
always find it out by wars, you know. So I had to look up the Levant, and it's the Eastern Mediterranean, and it includes Syria, Israel, Palestine, Jordan, and
parts of Turkey, maybe, too.
Well, it's from Turkey to Egypt. It might, you know, have some of that, and maybe some of Iraq also. But anyway, so we armed those people to attack Syria.
Right.
And they decided, well, we could attack Iraq instead. And now they want to create a country.
A new country.
Part of Syria and part of Iraq and create, you know, the, I don't know.
It's called, they want to create a new caliphate.
It's going to be a Sunni caliphate, though, right?
Yeah, well, but you know, the most exciting to me about all of this in the news recently is the brand new branded clothing line that ISIS has come out with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some really attractive looking black hoodies with nice graphics on the front. Yeah, and they've got, maybe you've seen some of their flags. They've got their flag graphic on the front.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Can you get them here at Macy's yet?
They're not at Macy's yet, but they were on Facebook. Until Facebook decided that they should maybe take those ads down.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but if you can find them, I think they're relatively inexpensive, like $7 to $13 for hoodies and T-shirts.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Jonathan and Dave, are you ever intimidated by locals because you aren't born and you're not native?
No.
Or do you say that you never are?
I never have been.
Well, if you're a surfer, for one, you've got to be.
Because
if you take off on the wrong guy, and it doesn't even have to be a local brown-skinned person. It could be a Howley that's lived here for X amount of years. If you take off on the wrong guy, especially in the 70s, you'd get punched out. Or unless you were a good fighter, then they couldn't beat you up, and there'd be nothing that you could do. But I find it very awkward to try to be honest and say what I want to anybody that I choose, you know. And if they don't like it, they can say, "Hey, I think you're stupid." Somebody can cut me down and say anything they want to me.
What was it? An intellectual?
That's not going to make me want to fight. You can call me and call me any name. You could degrade my family with words.
Is there a point to this? Because the show is not about you.
A lot of Howleys in Hawaii are scared of locals. They're scared of getting beaten up. And that's just a pure fact, you know. And it's too bad that it's like that, because a lot of Hawaiian Howley hate in the 70s, in the 60s, you know, where did that get Hawaii? It didn't.
Well, hold on. You've asked a question. That's you've asked a question. Hold on. You asked a question. I think it's an interesting question. We've got another caller on the line. Maybe they want to answer your question. Let's see who that is and what they have to say.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it? How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Okay, good, good. But I've been here. I've been living born and raised on Kauai for 49 years.
Uh-huh.
I don't surf, but I enjoy the beach. I like to watch girls on surfboards.
Sure, who doesn't?
Oh, yeah. Hey, like last caller, maybe you should think you should learn jiu-jitsu from Captain Parker. Maybe he got punched off before. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his experience is. I cannot speak for him.
Yeah, maybe you should learn from Dustin Barkov. Yeah, when he goes out to the beach, yeah, he can defend himself. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you for calling in. And we've got another caller calling in. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you a first-time caller?
From when to when?
Have today? You called into this show already?
Today?
Today.
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay. First of all, I would like to suggest that the gentleman who keeps calling again and again and again, I think that he should have his own show on KKCR, which is completely doable. All he has to do is call management and find out what the stipulations are, and he could do his own show. He seems to like to talk a lot. He has very good points. He's
uh-huh.
obviously a good researcher. And I think KKCR would be to his our advantage as listeners for him to have his own show.
I think you make an excellent point. And
yes.
And furthermore, building on that point, I want to invite, I think his name is Danny. I think that's his name, to come in.
Well, we don't need to call names.
Well, I'm not, it's not calling him a
no.
name to use his name.
We don't
name.
Need to say his name.
All right,
name
that,
on
caller,
here, you know?
That caller, that caller, for him to come into this show and join us here in the booth and help us make the show happen. That would be great.
Excellent. That's an excellent idea. And, Danny, please consider doing that. It seems like maybe you have some time on your hands that you could help KKCR. Now, the other thing I'm calling about is to make sure that people know that KIUC is giving out free LED
yeah.
light bulbs.
LED light bulbs, right.
Yeah.
Where's that going to be? That's
Kahlua
at
the...
Okay.
I assume right there where they have the entertainment, et cetera. And it's tomorrow from 6 until 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, free LED light bulbs. Did you know that, Dave?
Now I do.
That's awesome.
Yes, and it's going to happen again in July and also in August. And you don't have to be a member to get them. I've checked that out because I go to their meetings, of course.
Well, you know, everybody uses power, and if you're using LED light bulbs, which are very efficient and cool, then your electricity is going into creating light and not heat, and you use less of it, and so KIUC has to make less energy, so we all win.
Exactly. So, everybody, you don't have to be a member. You get three free light bulbs, and I think they maybe want to have you return whatever you're using, whether it's iridescent or those wiggly squiggly kinds.
Yeah, I can return the compact fluorescents I got mm-hmm. from them a few years ago.
Well, that's good because they have mercury inside them, Dave.
Yeah.
As long as it stays inside, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, however...
Light bulbs never break, right?
Well, they do break, and those are very bad ones. I never accepted any of those kind of light bulbs from KIUC because if they get broken, they can cause serious burns on your skin.
Yeah, plus they don't provide a lot of light after they're broken either.
I guess not. So, okay, just to put it out, everybody go down there and get your light bulbs.
Well, tomorrow. Thanks so much.
You got it, and thanks for your program. I always enjoy it.
Well, I always enjoy being able to make you laugh.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got about 15 minutes, actually about 10 minutes left of calls that we can accept at 826-7771 if you haven't called in before.
Oh, we've got, is that a flashing light right now?
Oh, it is.
That's why it could be someone right now.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Well, this is my last call. That lady was so gracious and wonderful. She really soothed my soul.
It all starts with respect.
I want to thank, well... Whatever, you know. I don't even know the person, but her kind words were very sweet and wonderful. They don't just apply to me. They apply to everybody. And
well, they apply,
you know?
Even to you.
I wish I could be as gracious as that woman.
Practice
I
it.
I want to applaud
Practice.
Her. She's
Practice.
She's a wonderful person. She's someone that I certainly wouldn't be afraid of.
You don't think she'd beat you up?
No, I don't. And even if I was rude or offended her in some way, I don't think she'd want to hurt me.
You think?
She wouldn't.
And that's my point. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good for you.
All right. Thanks for making that point. Okay.
So guess what, Dave?
He said it was his last time calling, so phone lines are open.
826-7771.
So what do you think about this Iraq situation?
Does it
show a total failure of U.S. foreign policy?
Well, okay. Okay. So that actually gets down to a total, complete failure of everything we spent trillions of dollars on. I'm going to say... Not necessarily.
Oh, is there some shining light in there, some good in there that we can learn from?
Well, not for you and not for me, but yes.
And what good has come out of that situation?
Well, Halliburton got a lot of money.
Ooh, okay.
And they weren't the only ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Iraq, which was a formidable regional power player before, now is not. So all of the countries around Iraq, the former Iraq, are now able to expand because they are stronger in relation. There's a power vacuum was created.
Is that a good thing?
It could be if you were an aggressive...
You were looking for some real estate?
Exactly.
You could move right
yes,
in.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. It's kind of like they got sprayed with like a sort of metaphorical herbicide, a scorched earth kind of highly toxic spray. And now that land is lying fallow, and new people
and nothing
can,
will grow there.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on the air. Oh.
The thing about Iraq is, if you think back in history, one of the last significant achievements of the CIA and MI6 was they created the war between Iraq and Iran that lasted for 9.5 years.
Yeah, that was a good one, because I think we were selling hardware to both sides.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if you step back from all of the patriotic jingoism...
Or the human misery and unnecessary
and
suffering.
Environmental destruction.
Sure. Skipping that.
Absolutely. The $13.2 billion that Halliburton's made in profit on Iraq and Afghanistan's a drop in the bucket compared to what they'll make if they can foment, say, a 20-year war between the Sunni extremists and Iran.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Or how about the war between, say, NATO and Russia in Ukraine? That would be a...
That's much ado about nothing, and simply to convince you that we must have the NSA increase surveillance.
Well, I certainly would be comforted to know that somebody knows what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, the thing about the Ukraine is how much interest and persuasion and power should Russia or China exert in Mexico because of the drug cartels?
I guess if we want to go by the example that we're trying to set in Ukraine, a significant interest, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that I'd throw that out there for your bringing up the...
So you're not concerned about the situation in the Ukraine? You don't think that has a potential to get much larger?
Well, I'm the grandchild of political refugees from the Ukraine.
Oh, when did your family come across?
My family came across around 1908.
Huh.
Just before World War One.
So that was back in Tsarist Russia.
Correct. I had a Tsarist Russian Ukrainian grandmother nationally, and the same ethnicity and all of that, but a Austrian national grandfather.
So how does that inform your opinion of what's going on there now?
Well, the thing is the relationship between the Ukraine and Russia is very long. And because they share a border and all the stuff you see in the media about how many ethnic Russians and Russian cultures is in the Ukraine, I don't see how the world changes strategically whether the Ukraine's a completely sovereign country with Russia as their neighbor
or if they're some affiliated or federated state. The Ukraine, it's not in our, I don't believe it's in our interest to pull the Russian bear's tail and encourage the Ukraine, say, to join NATO eventually.
But that is what happens.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, that is what is happening, yeah?
Well, it is and it isn't, right? To say that there's a single political desire within the Ukraine is as absurd as saying there's one in the, as that there's one in the United States. They are as polarized and divided about their future as we are. And so why should they have some instantaneous, perfect solution when, you know, we don't? Why do we expect it of them?
Well, that's a really great point, caller, and I think that's a good question. So,
In fact, I would apply that to everything. When we're looking at the struggles in Egypt, when we're looking at, you know, all of these things going on, even the spread of democracy, look at our country. We were not even 100 years old and had a civil war that makes many of the wars since then globally pale in comparison.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good one.
We're still fractured and divided, and so to expect perfection out of other countries is just foolish.
Well, that's certainly humbling.
Yeah. But to exploit those differences for your own benefit, though, is pretty low, I would think. You know, to force them to vote on a NATO, joining NATO, when obviously half the population and their big neighbor next door would be totally against it. I mean, that's very provocative.
Correct. I don't perceive the benefit in provoking Russia.
Yeah, well, that would kind of be like...
I'm not a neocon, so sure. I don't think that provoking Russia is smart.
Right.
And I also don't think that it's smart to take a position that tells Russia they can do anything that they want, right? Their relationship with the Ukraine is far different than their relationship with Poland, for example.
I guess I don't understand the analogy.
Well, you know what? We should do a whole show about it, Dave, because we all could learn. We all could learn a lot.
A caller who's very knowledgeable about the politics of this area.
See, this is within, like, the last, 500 years of European history are impacting the events that occur today.
Sure. True. Absolutely true.
Well, just like the
to some extent,
100
yeah.
years ago that created the borders in the Middle East, which are completely dysfunctional, irrational national borders.
On purpose.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah.
By design.
It was intended to keep the region destabilized and under colonial control.
Yeah. Mission accomplished. You know what, caller? It seems like you have some very well-grounded perspective on this thing. Could we get you to come into the show as a guest?
Sure.
All right. Well, let's see. Maybe I can take your number off the air, and then we can try and set something up.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
I'll put you on hold.
Okay.
Take a little break here in Out of the Box as we're coming towards the end. You know, of course, what's coming up next is Acoustic Luau, and we are lucky to have in the studio right now the host of that show. What are you gonna be playing tonight?
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh my gosh.
This is Mose Orion.
Well, we're going to do what we usually do on my side of Acoustic Luau. We're going to start off with some new music, and there's some great stuff. There's some women bands that I'm going to feature.
Women bands. Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
Understand?
Bands with women in them?
Yes, bands
awesome.
With women in them.
And, I love women bands.
There's a brand new Old Crow Medicine Show, so we're going to hear some of that.
Brand new Old Crow
Medicine Show. That's the name of the group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of bluegrass, country, swampy, bluesy.
I mean,
it kind of covers a lot of different areas, old-timey even.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to get like a teaser of what's coming up next.
There you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm going to certainly stick around. I'm going to listen to you all the way home.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're going to do that, and I hope it's safe.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be out of your way in a couple of minutes. But thanks for telling us what's coming up next.
You bet. Thanks for letting me on.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
All right. Yeah, we'll get a hold of you.
And thank you guys for doing a great show again.
Oh, you don't have to say that.
Okay. But I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Well, all right. Thanks, Mose.
We got time for one more call.
Yeah, stick around, though, because Mose is coming up next with Acoustic Luau, and it sounds like it's going to be a great show. We got one more caller here?
I guess he didn't hold on.
How about this caller? How about now?
Okay, hello?
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, cool. Okay. I don't want to call the guy a moron, but...
Wait, are you talking about me?
No. The caller was on earlier. He's talking about, oh, yeah, get beat up because I'm a Halloween.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. The point is, I moved to Kauai in 1978 when I was 18. I piled out acid drop, and the first thing a local guy said to me is, hey, you shred, bro. How's it? And then
did you know what he meant by that?
Yeah, it was, yeah, how's it? You surf really good. How you doing?
There you go. Translation.
Anyways, but here's my point about that, and then I'll talk about the other stuff. But my point is, yeah, then other guys came over and from Southern California, and they thought they could pal down and rule the place. No. It's called humility and respect.
Yep. Every time. People love that. Every time.
Well, it's that simple. It's like, I said, thanks for letting me ride your waves.
Yep. It is about
okay,
respect.
Okay, that's that point. And then the other point about the war and all that stuff is just a military-industrial complex of, yeah, wars make money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
And all that. This friend of mine's daughter was in Iraq or Afghanistan for 2 years. She's making 107 grand a year.
What does she do?
That's not the point.
Oh.
She worked for one of the contractors. She makes 107 grand a year. She was serving food to the troops or something.
Oh, okay. So she's got a job.
And then you got boots on the ground.
Sure.
Are getting what, 20 grand, and they're in harm's way.
Right.
Dwight D. Eisenhower said it. Be aware of the military-industrial complex because they're going to make wars. So everybody can make, well, so certain people can make money.
Yeah, not you and not me, unfortunately.
Well, if you work for the contract and go serve food to the troops, make 120 grand a year, you're styling.
Yeah.
Seems
anyway.
Like...
Those are my points.
That's awesome. Well, have you called in before, caller? I don't recognize your voice.
No, probably not. But that other guy's like, man, you got to be humble, bro.
Good advice.
All right, thanks for calling.
Hey.
Aloha. Okay, well, that's about all the time we've got. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks we're going to have Dar Jamel. Is going to be our guest on the show, and he'll actually know what he's talking about when he talks about ISIS. We're going to ask him some questions about what's going on in the Middle East. And I'm pretty interested, Dave. You know why?
Why is that?
Because I'm going to Turkey.
Oh, you're going to Turkey?
I'm going to Turkey.
Oh, you're going to Italy.
Yeah, well, that too, but I'm flying into Istanbul. And so, you know, I was looking at the map, and Iraq and Syria are to the south of Turkey, and Ukraine and Russia are to the north of Turkey. And I thought, cool.
You're right in the middle of things.
Cool. That sounds like that will be an exciting adventure.
Wear your flak jacket.
Actually, I was thinking of wearing some really lightweight clothing because I hear it's hot in Istanbul this time of year. But so the upshot of that is that I'll be gone for most of July, the end of July, and almost all of August. So if you... a listener out there want to come in to the station and get a taste of what it's like to be on this side of a public affairs show, please send an email into OOTB, Out of the Box, and we'll try to hook you up because it's pretty fun doing this, and it's absolutely worth sharing.
Okay, well, we'll see you back in a couple weeks. Aloha. Thanks for all the calls.
Ahui ho.